Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Hey, this is Aaron Lee from the Frank Hannon Band. You're listening to Talking Metal.
Molson Canadian presents Heavy Montreal. August 7th, 8th, and 9th, outdoors at Parc Jean-Drapeau. Featuring Slipknot, Faith No More, Korn, and Alexis on Fire. 3 full days of rock and metal with Lamb of God, Iggy Pop, NoFX, Billy Talent, and many more. Festival passes on sale now. For the full festival lineup, visit HeavyMontreal.com. Produced by Afenco.
Hey, this is Mark Striegel, and welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. We are sponsored by Heavy Montreal, a concert I will be attending this summer. I hope you guys can make it up for the 3-day festival. Definitely check Heavy Montreal out online. I'll have it linked through today's show notes. Our guest today is the one and only Ron Keel, a guy I've been a fan of for well over 30 years at this point in my life. And special guest co-host today is Aaron Lee from the Frank Hannon Band. How are you?
Doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me on. I've been a big fan of the show for a long time, about 8 years. Been listening.
Oh, excellent. Cool. Well, that's going way back. We've been doing it 10 years, believe it or not, this year, 2005 to 2015. So glad to have you on board as co-host today. And I first met you in person recently at a taping of That Metal Show, a VH1 Classics show with Eddie Trunk, Don Jameson, and Jim Florentine. And your guy, Frank, was there and did just a great job playing on the guitar platform.
That was amazing. I was blown away. He really owned that spot, man.
Yeah, he did a great job. But let's talk a little bit about your history with Frank. Now, outside of Tesla, Frank has the Frank Hannon Band, and you were a big part of that. You play bass in that band. And where did you and Frank first connect?
Well, here in Sacramento, I used to book a venue, the talent at this venue in town, and I was just hanging out at the bar one day and turned around. He's standing behind me. He was there to pay his bill. Right. And he was with his kids, and I wasn't quite sure if it was him at first. And I just held out my hand, Frank, how you doing? And we just got to talking, exchanged some numbers, and he was asking, you know, what kind of gear I was using and who are my favorite bass players, things like that. And I didn't hear from the guy for like 3 months. And then he calls me. He was on the road with the Scorpions. Tesla was doing the Scorpions tour. And he calls me up. He says, hey, I want you to go play with my drummer. We need a bass player. And so I went and hooked up with his drummer. We just jammed together real quick. She made a call to Frank and said, you know, this is possibly the guy. And I went and jammed some more with Frank and his drummer and did some Rush songs. And it's a good thing I knew these Rush songs, you know, growing up as a kid learning this stuff on bass. And we just clicked, man. It was a, you know, just a quick jam. And he goes and he starts to hang up the guitar on the wall, and he went, well, I've heard enough. And I thought, oh no, I didn't get the gig. And then he goes, you're in.
Oh, cool. And so how long ago are we talking this happened?
This was back in 2012, September 2012 is when I started up with Frank.
Cool. And then since then, you guys have done obviously a lot of playing live, but you've also done some recordings, right?
Yeah, well, this latest album, World Peace, I have a part in, you know, co-producing with Frank and obviously playing bass on it. And I actually mixed half the album, the first six songs I mixed.
Oh, cool.
And I actually just did a remix of track 7 on the album called New York City, Psycho Cab Ride. We just did a video for it in Times Square when we were out there when I saw you. And we just released that actually today on YouTube. You can go check it out. It's you know, under the Frank Hannon Band YouTube, and it's called New York City Psycho Cab Ride.
All right, cool. Well, we'll definitely look for that, and we'll link it through today's show notes. So if the listeners want a direct link to that video, just go to talkingmetal.com, go to the Talking Metal section, and you'll see the show notes for this episode, and we'll have that linked. Let's talk about some of the other songs on that record. I really dug the heavy metal hippie song. I mean, great stuff. Were you involved with that one?
Well, yeah. That one was added at the last minute. Frank wasn't too sure if he wanted it on the album and keep it, you know, as more of a live type of thing, you know, just doing it at shows. And he just, you know, one day he's like, all right, we're going to do it. Let's track it. So it was real quick, did it really fast. I played some fretless bass on it, which I don't get a lot of chances to play fretless on certain tracks, but I felt that that particular track could use some fretless of slinky sound and bass, you know. And yeah, and there you have it, heavy metal hippie. And he truly is the heavy metal hippie, you know, tie-dye and leather, and he wears them together.
Right on. Born Free, another great song, World Peace, the title track. And right now, why don't we get into another one, Electric Chair, also off the World Peace Frank Hannon Band record, which is on Spotify, iTunes, and I'm sure you can pick up CDs on Amazon and whatnot. What's the best website for the Frank Hannon Band?
FrankHannon.com.
Perfect. And again, this is Electric Chair.
Yeah.
cool. What you just heard was our co-host Aaron Lee and Frank Hannon from Tesla, Electric Chair. And who's the drummer again?
Kelly Smith. He's a friend of mine that I've known since we were teenagers, actually. And, you know, he lives up here in the area, in the Sacramento area. And I brought him in, and I was mentioning to Frank, he's a great guy, great drummer. And there you have it. He's our drummer now. He's been in about a little over a year.
Cool. And when you're not working with Frank, with the Frank Hannon band, you also do work with him when he's playing with Tesla, right?
Yeah. So when Tesla's on the road, and obviously, you know, FHB's down, I'm guitar tech for Frank and drum tech for Troy Lucchetta. So yeah, it's a whole nother side of the business there. You know, I've never strived to be a tech in any sort of, you know, professional way. I think Frank just, you know, wanted to keep me around. So he gave me a job.
Right on. Yeah. So will you be out on the road with Tesla and Def Leppard and Styx this summer?
Yes. Yeah. It's going to be a 3-month party.
Excellent. Well, I bought my VIP tickets for the New Jersey show. So I hope we can say hello at the PNC Arts Center in New Jersey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sure we'll see each other.
Perfect. Good. Well, I tell you what, real quick, I want to get into a little music by a great band. They've been around quite some time. Actually, for a while, they weren't active, but they have been active the past few years. The band is Trauma. They originally, way, way back in the day, before Cliff Burton joined Metallica, he was in this band, Trauma, and even on one of the early demos that they put out, he did this thing that was almost exactly like the same thing he does with Metallica on Kill 'Em All, the Anesthesia, you know, bass solo. He did that, something very similar to it with Trauma, pre-Metallica. But anyways, this is the new Trauma record that just came out. It's called Rapture and Wrath, and it's worth picking up, guys. This is some fun, good, traditional, straight-ahead metal. I highly recommend it. This song is called When I Die. Just heard was the band Trauma, a band that once featured Cliff Burton on bass. My co-host today is Aaron Lee. And Aaron, now we're going to get into a little music by Ron Keel, and that will be followed by my interview with Ron, a guy that you've done some playing with, right?
Yeah. Well, Frank played on the Metal Cowboy album.
Yes.
Ron
actually mentions that in the interview that you're about to hear.
So Ron came up to the Sacramento area for a show that he was going to be doing acoustic solo. And he asked Frank to sit in with him and do the show. And well, then from there, then Frank and Ron both asked me to, they said, well, we need some bass back there as well. So we went as a trio and we did a show here in Sacramento. And then after that show, Ron offered me to go play with him at the Fillmore in San Francisco the next night, opening for YNT.
Oh,
and
nice.
It was a sold out room and the historic Fillmore, you know, I mean, everybody's been there and played there. Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, I mean, you name it, they played that stage. And I got to tell you, I don't get too nervous, you know, usually before I do a gig, but that particular gig, my heart was beating pretty hard, you know,
right.
Yeah, walking up. But yeah, and then I played with Ron on the Monsters of Rock cruise as well, a couple times actually. And actually, we're about to head out on that coming up this Thursday. We're heading out to the Monsters of Rock cruise, and Tesla's going to be headlining that. And Frank Hannon Band's got a couple shows on the cruise as well. And so I'm sure that we'll run into Ron and hopefully jam together again.
Excellent. How are those cruises? Do you enjoy those?
Oh, they're so fun. They're really fun. And you know, it kind of ruined it for me because now I would never want to go on just a regular cruise. It's got to be a rock cruise, you know.
Nice. So,
yeah, they're a lot of fun. I heard Def Leppard is doing a cruise now as well.
Yeah, the Kiss cruise and I feel like there was like a Weezer cruise or something. So it's like, it's not just hard rock and heavy metal. There are now other cruises popping up, and I guess people have a good time out there and you get the music you love along with all the, great, you know, things you'd normally experience on a cruise, right?
Yeah. No, it's a lot of fun. The thing is, there's so many bands playing all over the ship that you have to really plan ahead of who you want to see, you know, because it's easy to miss somebody because it kind of crosses over, you know, time wise. So, yeah, it's just a nonstop party. It's 24/7.
Cool. And when do you leave on that? That's soon, right? That's like in a week or two, right?
Yeah, we fly out on Thursday, and Tesla has a show in Orlando, and then we go from there and jump on the cruise ship.
Nice. And I know Eddie Trunk is going to be on that cruise along with Don Jameson, I believe. So
yeah,
it should be a fun time. Wish I could be there, but not this year, maybe next year. Anyways, let's get into the song Long Gone Bad by Ron Keel. And this will be followed by my interview with Ron, his, I believe, second or third time on Talking Metal. So we're glad to have him back. And here we go. Long Gone Bad by Ron Keel off the Metal Cowboy record. Hey, this is Mark Striegel with Talking Metal, and we are welcoming back to the podcast Ron Keel. How are you, Ron?
Fantastic, Mark. Great to talk to you, man. It's always great to catch up with you. It's been a while, and we got a lot to talk about this time out.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on with you right now, which I want to touch upon. But before we do that, let's just talk about the great album that was such a big deal to me as a kid and still is to this day. I really believe it's held the test of time. 30 years since The Right to Rock. Let's talk about that. What are your memories of working on that record with the band Keel and with Gene Simmons? Was that a big moment? Is that the turning point for the band, you think?
Absolutely. In 1984, when we got signed, we wrote that song, The Right to Rock, and that's the one that, it's a famous story how I sang that song to Gene, and he immediately agreed to produce the album, which was our major label debut, which was released in 1985, 30 years ago. And you know, I appreciate you saying that it stood the test of time. That song certainly has, that's for sure. And Gene told me at the time, he said, you know you're going to be singing this one for the rest of your life. And he was right. It's still a big part of my life, a big part of our shows. And we'll still be pumping it out on the Badlands Radio Network when I debut with my new gig here in November. The song, it's a career song. You know, when you can come up with a title like that says so much in so little you know, the right to rock. It's about freedom of expression, the right to say what I feel, the right to do what I want to do. And the statement that that song made has certainly stood the test of time, as well as the, you know, the recording. It, and I remember it like it was yesterday. There's,
yeah.
There's a lot of my career that the last 30 years that is a little bit fuzzy, but that experience, man, getting signed, getting to work with Gene, getting in the studio and making the record, seeing the ads come out in Circus Magazine and Billboard and Hit Parader, and all of a sudden we're hitting the road, and the album was the fastest-selling debut album in A&M Records history. At the time, I think we did 90,000 album sales the first week. And, you know, the funny thing is, we didn't even crack the Billboard charts that first week. Nowadays, if you sell 90,000 your first week, you're in the top five.
Right, yeah.
So it shows you how much the industry itself has changed, but the song remains the same.
Right on. And, you know, you were already known by, you know, the metalheads and the rockers and people, you know, who were familiar with your band Steeler and, of course, the Keel release, Lay Down the Law, right?
Lay Down the Law, and yeah. That one kind of got lost in the shuffle because it was released after we'd already got signed and the Right to Rock was getting all the publicity and the momentum, and Lay Down the Law kind of got lost in the shuffle, but that was the one that got Gene's attention and got the wheels turning for us with Gene Simmons.
So he approached you. You had never met him before, and he heard that Lay Down the Law record and approached you guys?
Well, the way it happened was we got signed to our major label deal with Gold Mountain A&M Records, and the president of the company presented me with a list of potential producers, and there were all of the heavy hitters on that list, man. I mean, Michael Wagner, Max Norman, there's just a list of who's who of who was creating great-sounding rock albums in 1984-85. And one name that stood out above all to me, being a Kiss fan, was Gene Simmons.
Right.
And I thought, that name just really popped off the page, and I said, man, I'd love to meet Gene and have the chance to work with him. Went to Gene's hotel at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Right at this time, we're still recording Lay Down the Law. We still were finishing up the mixes. We had no new songs. It all happened so suddenly. All I had was a cassette tape of the guys jamming out the riff of The Right to Rock. We kind of did it as a sound check in the studio when we were doing the Lay Down the Law sessions. And I had, you know, a very rough cut of the music, no vocal on it. So I popped it into Gene Simmons' boombox there in his hotel room, got in his face and screamed and spit and yelling out The Right to Rock, and Gene just leaned over, hit stop on the boombox and said, I'm going to produce this record, and we're going to start Tuesday.
Wow. So you were already planning to produce the next record, being The Right to Rock, while you were still finishing up Lay Down the Law.
Well, we got the deal. I mean, you know, when opportunity knocks, you got to answer the door, and we were finishing up the mixes, and the buzz on Keel was pretty hot in Hollywood and L.A. at the time. So our managers called us back to L.A. for a round of showcases where you rent out SIR for a few days and you kind of do your show for all the guys in suits and ties and the record company execs. One guy above all, Bert Stein at Gold Mountain, just stood up and said, I'm signing this band. We want this band. And that enthusiasm was, you know, priceless to us. And all of a sudden, literally within a week or so, I was meeting with Gene. And we had to get on, the fast track because he was leaving for, was it the Animalize tour, I believe, at the time?
Right.
He had a certain window of opportunity in which he could produce the record. And we wanted a January release date in 85. And so we had to get to work right then and there and create. I think I wrote three songs in one night. I kind of finished The Right to Rock. I wrote Electric Love and Back to the City. We redid three songs from Lay Down the Law, and then Gene was kind enough to let us cut three of his songs that didn't quite make the cut on Animalize. So we had nine songs, and we went right into the studio immediately and captured that raw, hungry vibe that that record is famous for. I mean, that
right.
Record, just like Gene's quote on the album jacket, it says, sounds like a bunch of angry, hungry kids in a garage making noise. And I think that's why, like you said in your opening, that record has stood the test of time.
Yeah. And when Gene came to you and said, you know what, we're going to do some of my songs, you know, Easier Said Than Done, So Many Girls, and Get Down, right? How did you and the guys in the band react to that? Were you excited to do Gene Simmons songs, or were you kind of like, hey, why aren't we doing more of our songs?
No, I was absolutely excited. Well, first of all, we didn't have any songs. Like I
right.
said, we were just finishing up the Lay Down the Law session. the last thing on our mind was writing a new album because we hadn't finished our debut album yet. And Gene gave me a carte blanche of his catalog of songs that he'd written. There were way more than those three. I chose those three because they fit our personality the best. So, no, there was never a problem with trying to express myself. You know, it's got to be my songs, my way. And Keel's history is littered with some great songs that I didn't write. Because yeah, Night was a pretty good hit for us.
Right.
Rock and Roll Outlaw. I mean, we covered the Stones song, Let's Spend the Night Together, on two albums. So it's not about who wrote it. It's about the quality of the song and the statement that it makes.
Right on. Right on. Well, let's talk about what you have going on now, because you put out a great record last year called Metal Cowboy. And earlier in the show today, we heard the song Long Gone Bad, just a great track. Who plays with you on this record? Can you talk about some of the players? Because there's just some amazing guitar playing on the record.
Dale, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad you're listening and playing that stuff. That album is certainly a very special piece of my career puzzle. And I was lucky enough to invite a few good friends to the party. A lot of the lead guitar work that you're hearing on there is Frank Hannon from Tesla.
Nice.
Who was kind enough to lend his talents to the album. Mike Vanderhul from YNT did all of the drum tracks on the album. I did a lot of it myself, and a lot of bass. I did all the rhythm guitars, even some lead guitars myself on that album. Of course, all the lead vocals. It's the first album in my career where it says all songs written by Ron Keel, which I'm really proud of that. Like I said before, you know, the cover songs are great, and performing other people's material is always rewarding. But when you can say all songs written by Ron Keel, you know, that to me is a special thing. And this album was very well received. It kind of got me where I am now in this new Badlands situation here in South Dakota, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But,
yeah.
You know, we were on tour. Keel was on tour in Europe a few years back, and I'm sitting on the tour bus across from my longtime friend, Brian Jay, lead guitarist in Keel.
Sure.
He said, Ron, you should just be the Metal Cowboy. It's who you are. And Brian literally coined the term, and the little light bulb went off over my head, and I kind of realized that, you know, that's where my heart is. You, of all people, know that I have a history in country music.
Yes.
You were part of the VH1 special when, oh my God, Ron Keel goes country. And
yeah,
and,
MTV. You know, so yeah, it was MTV, actually. MTV, when the,
MTV, yeah.
What was it? It came from the 80s part two, it was called.
That's
yeah.
Right. And you were, it's a guy, like Jekyll and Hyde. And I really am. I am the true rock and roll Jekyll and Hyde. I do love the energy, the excitement, the passion, the intensity of metal. But I also enjoy painting the picture with some different colors. And on this album, we had Travis Toy from Rascal Flatts on Dobro, which gives it a lot of that Southwest, Wild West kind of flavor with plugging a Dobro through a Marshall stack and using some of those other instruments to paint the picture. But above all, it's got to be screaming vocals, mm-hmm. Anthem choruses, screaming guitars, thunderous drums. Man, that's what it's all about for me. Whether no matter what you might call it, I call it Metal Cowboy.
Cool. Yeah, it's good stuff, and I suggest all the Talking Metal listeners check it out. It's on iTunes. It's on Spotify. You can buy the CD on Amazon, so definitely check out Metal Cowboy by Ron Keel. And now you're announcing that you're doing this thing that sounds really cool to me, Badlands Pawn, Guns, Gold, and Rock and Roll. Tell us about it. It's I've been looking at the Facebook page. It's currently, I guess, in construction, right? And tell us what this is going to become.
Well, I am literally now in my office at Badlands Pawn in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, looking out at these massive walls going up all around me. It's going to be 50,000 square feet on 3 acres of land, kind of like there's nothing like it on the planet. A pawn shop, yes, but also a concert music venue. We're going to have a full state-of-the-art concert stage where I will get to put together my dream band and perform on a regular basis on site and on tour. And we're going to be recording original music. We're going to be playing cover songs. We're going to be doing all kinds of musical slash entertainment activities here. But we've got a gun range where you can shoot anything from a handgun to a 50 caliber. We've got a radio station, Badlands Radio Network, broadcasting live from this facility starting November 26th. I'm going to be on the air every day from 10 to 2:30, and not only on this station, but on a network of stations throughout the Midwest, and, of course, also broadcasting online on the Badlands Radio Network. We've got literally a state-of-the-art live concert venue, and it's just the opportunity of a lifetime for me to realize at this stage of the game in my career, where I've got so many wonderful dreams come true behind me, to have this opportunity to really put an exclamation point on my career at Badlands Pond is more than I could have ever dreamed of, and we're going to make the most of it.
Cool. So, wow, there's so much to talk about here. Let's start with the radio portion of Badlands Pond. So is this something that's going to be streaming online? You mentioned some other stations in other cities. Is that like an FM radio thing? Where do we hear this?
We will be on FM radio in Sioux Falls, based in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, but also bouncing that signal off of radio towers throughout the Midwest on a network of dozens of stations on FM radio throughout the Midwest, 24/7 live, and also, of course, streaming online. I mean, almost every station is streaming on the internet now. So, of course, our fans in Europe and Japan and all over the world will be able to experience what it's like here at Badlands Pond. And we're going to have a never-ending stream of special guests. All of our friends, rock stars, we're going to be doing meet and greets, special performances, 50 national acts booked starting in January of 2016. Every Thursday night will be concert night, where we'll clear out the retail area. We can pack 1,500 people into this venue for rock, metal, you know, shows, and we're going to be streaming this online cool. and also on TV. We've got several TV shows in the works, a reality show, a game show. We're filming our morning show they're on the radio, so you'll be able to watch that. I mean, we're going to be very highly visible in this project in every media, from TV to radio and beyond.
Awesome. And do you go through like a radio company, like a Clear Channel or something, to get this going, or are you just kind of doing this on your own, building it on your own?
No, we actually bought a local radio station, bought the tower, bought the station, bought the FCC license.
Wow.
And the satellite streaming is all done through Westwood One.
Okay.
Of course, where you beam your signal up to the satellite, and it gets picked up by all these other stations. And that's been part of the fun of it for me, is being involved from the ground floor up. I was one of the first six people on the foundation team here when there was nothing, just a blueprint. And being able to help build this thing from the ground up has been an amazingly rewarding experience. And we've got 233 days now till grand opening. We've got this big counter in the hallway that tells us how much time we have left to really get this thing going. But the audio, video, TV production, live broadcasting aspects of this thing are huge. And we're going to be able to broadcast the concerts live on the radio, so the fans all over the world will be able to listen to our national acts and the Badlands House Band, which I am singing and fronting and leading. And, you know, that metal cowboy thing, I think, kind of led me here, because there's a lot of, you know, that Badlands mentality is what I am. It's going to be a metal band with a cowboy attitude.
Nice, nice, cool. And the pawn shop aspect of Badlands Pawn. So, like, during business hours or during the day, you could bring stuff in and pawn it, or you could come in and buy stuff. That's going to be a big aspect of all this, right?
Absolutely. We're going to have, like, you know, you've been to the dry cleaners where you see the clothes and the suits going around on these tracks, and you hit a button and it stops. We're going to have 300 guitars on a track running through the building, where you can hit stop, pick out a guitar, come into our sound booth, and actually throw down a solo on a track. We're going to have a recording studio on the floor. Get up and jam with me if you want to. So also retail, electronics, new musical gear. So like mini Redneck Guitar Center kind of thing. So we've got a deli, a tattoo parlor,
nice,
where you can come in and, you know, get your ink. It's all behind glass. $1 million in gold on display behind glass. You can get your picture taken with $1 million in gold, jam with the band, throw down a solo on a track, see a live radio station in action behind glass. So it's going to be like, you know, Metal Cowboy Disneyland, man. And they gave me the keys. Can you believe it?
It's awesome. And guns, I recently got my hunting license, actually. So I've been starting to learn about guns and stuff. Are you a big gun guy? Do you own guns?
I do. I'm a firm believer in the Second Amendment. And I'm a longtime gun owner and grew up in that environment. So I'm right at home. I'm going to be enjoying some time on the range. Let's put it that way. We've got a state-of-the-art gun range, 14 lanes, 10 regular lanes, and 4 VIP lanes. And you can shoot anything from a handgun to a 50 caliber. That's kind of been one of the challenges of this thing, is putting a radio station behind glass in between a 50 caliber gun range and a concert stage. Talk about soundproofing issues, but we'll work it out.
Right. Very good. Very good. Cool. Great stuff. And Ron, before I let you go, I know you're going to be in Pennsylvania, Hopewell Township, Pennsylvania, May 23rd at the grand opening of the coin-operated gaming hall of fame and museum. Were you a big video game guy, or are you a big video game guy?
No, we were back in the day, men in the 80s, before, you know, all we had was those, in the studio, I've had Asteroids and Galaga and Pac-Man, and those arcade games were a big part of our recreational activities in the studio, and I'm a child of the 80s, and that stuff was part of our culture back then. So I'm really proud to be a part of this grand opening of the Coin-Operated Hall of Fame. I don't have a whole lot of other shows to do this year. Last year I did 70,000 miles on tour. This year I've got the Monsters of Rock cruise. I'm in Houston this weekend, and then the last gig that I do, apparently, before the grand opening of Badlands Pond, is going to be this awesome grand opening at the Gaming Hall of Fame and Museum.
Right.
The website is coinophof.com. I'm going to be, you can challenge me to a game of Pac-Man. You can, you know, we're going to hang out, play games. I'm going to play some music. And we're just going to celebrate that culture and this wonderful new facility that they've got there in Hopewell Township, Pennsylvania, on
May 23rd.
And let me see, with the time, I'm looking for the time here. I think it's, I don't know. Go to the website, Hall of Fame, and I'll be there all day, man. I'm looking forward to this trip. And want to thank Chris Aiken, good friend of yours, good friend of mine, for inviting me to participate. When I got the gig at Badlands Pond, I had to kind of put everything else to the side. I mean, my solo career, my syndicated radio show, all the stuff that I was doing. But I said, man, I got to do these gigs. They're still in the books. I gave my word. It's a commitment. And you know, I'm really glad that I get to get out and play a little bit, and can't wait to see everybody there in Pennsylvania. I know we've got fans in that area that are going to be hanging out and probably whipping my ass at Pac-Man. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And is that like a full band set you're doing, or will it be one of the acoustic shows?
Just me and the guitar, man.
Nice.
You know, just the acoustic gigs. I enjoy the challenge of doing that.
Absolutely.
I've done a lot of them the last 10 years. And I don't shy away from doing some of the heavier stuff, man. I'll do Rock and Roll Outlaw and Somebody's Waiting and The Right to Rock and all, you know, all that stuff that we do in a full band context. I believe that I can still deliver it in an acoustic format and still have fun, entertain people, and get them singing along, get their fists in the air. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. Good. Well, we will link that through today's show notes, and we'll also have links up to Badland Pawns. Is there a website up for that yet, Ron?
BadlandsPawn.com, and everything, always, you can always find me and links to all this stuff at RonTeal.com, to the Pennsylvania gig, the Badlands gig. Anything that I do is always online at RonTeal.com.
And there's a great, like, I guess you'd call it like EPK or trailer about Badlands Pawn that I watched, so I'll definitely link that through today's show notes on TalkingMetal.com.
Thank you. Yeah, that 3-minute video clip really helps you wrap your head around this.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's nothing like it on the planet, so trying to describe it to somebody has become quite the challenge. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it with you today on the show.
You bet. And so there's like hotels in the area, and this would be like a destination that people could go to. Are you envisioning it like turning into something like a full throttle saloon where people are actually traveling to the location to hang out, watch the bands, shoot
Very
guns.
Much so. Yeah. That's a great comparison. It is in the Arts and Entertainment District here in Sioux Falls, across the street from the new state-of-the-art Denny Sanford Premier Center, which is a 10,000-seat concert arena.
Oh, cool.
And we're going to have the other side of the street for Badlands Pawn and all of the activities that we'll have here. Like I said, national acts. It's a tourist destination right here at the crossroads of America. So if you're headed east, northwest, or south, stop by and see us in Sioux Falls at Badlands Pond.
All right, Ron, thanks so much. And we heard some of your new music earlier in the show, but right now let's get into the classic, The Right to Rock, the title track off The Right to Rock record, released approximately 30 years ago.
You got it. Thanks, Mark. Keep it up, brother.
What you just heard was the classic Keel song, The Right to Rock, off the Right to Rock record, which is now 30 years old, just turned 30. They actually put out a great 25-year anniversary edition of it, which if you don't have, I suggest you pick that up on CD. It was great talking with Ron, who, of course, mentioned Frank during the interview, Frank Hannon, who Aaron, our co-host, works with. He also mentioned a lot of the stuff that he has going on with Badland Pawn, which sounds like it's going to be a real cool thing, Aaron. It's like a place you can go to see shows, you can go to buy guitars, you can go there to shoot your gun off at the gun range, and it, you know, it sounds like it's just one big party. Badland Pawn, which I guess will be opening real soon in South Dakota.
Yeah. And I heard that you can get your picture taken with $1 million in gold.
Yeah, very true. Very true. And got a kick out of Ron mentioning Chris Aiken from the Classic Metal Show, who for a long time, I could say, wasn't a real friend of mine, quite the opposite. But Ron referred to him as a good friend, and he said he's a good friend of mine. And I will say that Chris and I definitely talk here and there by email. And honestly, after the kind of decade-long feud, not quite a decade, probably like 8 or 9 year long feud that went on between he and I. I'm glad that's behind us. And I do listen to the Classic Metal Show, especially dig the interviews those guys do. And I'm not so into it when they get into the political stuff and all the hating and stuff like that. Have you listened to those guys, the Classic Metal Show, Aaron?
Yeah, I have. And I actually heard you guys go back and forth. It was entertainment, you know, it was still good entertainment, but I'm really happy that you guys buried the hatchet and, you know, because you can't have too many friends in this business, you know?
Right. No, I agree. And I'd love to go out and check out this thing that Ron Keel is going to be playing at the Hall of Fame, Video Game Hall of Fame out there in Pennsylvania. But unfortunately, I can't make it out. At least I don't think so. But who knows? It would be fun to go out there. And as Ron said, that will be his only appearance out here towards the East Coast. It's not exactly the East Coast. It's Western Pennsylvania, but it'll be his only appearance in this part of the country. So if you're a Ron Keel fan, definitely be sure to check that out. And again, that's Saturday, May 23rd, 2015 at the Pennsylvania Coin Operated Game Hall of Fame and Museum. And we will have a link up to that in today's show notes on talkingmetal.com. All right, so moving on, Aaron, before we call it a day here, I just wanted to hit a couple topics that are in the news right now. This didn't really get a big blabbermouth headline or anything, but I found it interesting that some of these songs, specifically one song, Salt the Wound by Exodus, leaked this week, and it was something that was included on their most recent record, but the version that leaked was without Zetro singing. It was a version of the song with Rob Dukes, the former singer of Exodus, and of course Kurt Hammett is on guitar on this song. And I just kind of found it interesting that this stuff was leaking out, and there's been a lot of stuff said back and forth in the press about what actually happened with Rob leaving the band. And I personally think he was pushed out because they thought they could get more money to bring back a guy from the classic era of Exodus, Zetro. And it's just unfortunate. But one thing I think we can now say for sure, and I believe it's been speculated and said here on this podcast, but one thing we can say for sure is the album was basically done with Rob Dukes, and Zetro came in, basically redid his parts, and then they released it. So do you think that a lot of these bands will simply get the classic lineup back in place to make money, Aaron?
Well, yeah, I think for the fans too. I'm sure that the fans want to see as many original members in any band. I mean, look at Foreigner now, you know, there's no original members in that. They're basically a cover band. And the more original members, I think, would command more money. Maybe that's a reason they're doing it. But I would imagine they're probably doing it more on a fan level, you know.
Yeah, you don't know. I mean, it's interesting, too, because we just heard with Megadeth that, you know, they're going to have Chris Adler playing drums on the next record from Lamb of God. And they're going to have this guy, I think his name's Kiko. He was on Talking Metal once, from the South American band Angra, on guitar. But it's recently came out within the last week that they actually did attempt to put back back together the classic Megadeth lineup that played on a lot of fan favorite albums, you know, that included Nick Menza and Marty Friedman, and it just didn't work out. And again, it sounds like, you know, what the issue was once again was money. It didn't work out because the deal wasn't good enough for these guys to rejoin. At least that's kind of what Nick Menza has said publicly. And, you know, I don't know. As a fan, I would have loved to have seen that, but I'm also really excited to see what Megadeth can put forth with Chris and Kiko now joining up with the band, and think that in some ways, you know, they're not going backwards, they're going forwards. Are you a Megadeth fan at all? Do you even care about any of this Megadeth stuff?
To be honest, not really. But I've seen it in the headlines, you know, in their press and stuff, that it's been choppy water for them. So maybe they can pull together and get a tight unit out of this and deliver the goods.
Cool. Well, I mean, even Skid Row this week had a big announcement on Eddie Trunk's show about a week ago or so that they have now dismissed Johnny and they have welcomed Tony Harnell, formerly of TNT fame, to the ranks. And I like Skid Row. I like Tony, but I'm not sure how excited the general public is going to be about Skid Row until they can get Sebastian back in the band. And I mean, that's not me. You know, I'm more of I've been a fan of Skid Row with Sebastian and without Sebastian, but I just think that in order to get back into the mainstream, they really need to try to mend things with Sebastian and get him back in the band. However, from what I've heard, I don't think that will happen, at least not anytime soon. Were you surprised that Skid Row dismissed Johnny?
Yeah, I was. Tesla did a show and Skid Row was on the bill. And they seemed really cool, like tight unit, you know, so it was surprising. But what's even more surprising that it's Tony Harnell as the vocalist. I don't know if I can even, I'm a huge TNT fan, always from day one. I've been a TNT fan, love Tony's voice. I just don't know how it's going to sound with Skid Row, him singing those songs, you know. And you're right, they need to get Sebastian back and just do it right.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing with Sebastian, and I felt like Johnny also had this going on, is he had such like a, you know, he could hit those high notes, but he also had the ability to really like sing like from the gut, like, you know, just kind of raw from the gut. And I don't know, part of me is not exactly sure Tony Harnell's voice is kind of that same caliber, and that doesn't mean that it's not as good. It just means it's a different sounding voice, and maybe that's a good thing for them moving forward. However, I do feel like a lot of the fans are going to want to hear the classic stuff, and I'm just unsure of how they're going to react to him singing some of that classic stuff.
I agree 100%. I thought Johnny did great. He sounded awesome when I saw him singing at that one show. And you know, how long was he in the band? 10 years?
More than that, I think. I think it was like 14, 15 years. I'd have to check that, but a long time.
Yeah, so he was delivering the goods. I don't know what could have happened to break that apart. It's strange.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I heard some exciting news, kind of exclusive news. It's been publicly announced that they're going to be kind of revamping the hearing aid project, which was something that Ronnie Dio put together back in the day with Vivian Campbell and Jimmy Bain. They're going to be reissuing that classic heavy metal, hard rock, all-star song. And they've also hinted that there will be some new stuff coming out. Now, I heard from an exclusive source that they're going to re-record, or they may have already re-recorded the song We Rock with an all-star cast singing it, and this time, instead of the money going to hunger aid, you know, over in Africa, it's going to be all going towards the Dio Cancer Fund, which I think is just a great idea and a really good cause. Were you into hearing aid? Are you aware of what hearing aid was back in the 80s?
Oh, yeah, and I even go back and I'll look it up on YouTube every now and then just to watch it, you know. I love that little documentary they did too, along with it. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the cast of guitar players that they may pick up to play on that. It'll be cool.
Yeah, guitar players and singers. And again, I heard from kind of an inside source that they have already started recording the song We Rock with numerous different vocalists, and I'm assuming probably guitar players too, although I wasn't told about that aspect of it. So anyways, looking forward to the hearing aid reissue, Wendy Dio reissuing the classic song along with some new bonus material. So we'll have to wait for the official announcement on that. Aaron, it's been great talking with you on Talking Metal today. Where's the best place people can get in touch with you online?
Well, you can just find me on Facebook, or you can go to Vagabond Brothers Acoustic. That's my acoustic duo that I play shows around town when I'm home.
Cool. And those are like cover songs of classic rock songs?
Yeah, yeah. Like we do a hodgepodge of a bunch of stuff. You know, we can go from Guns N' Roses to Johnny Cash to Goo Goo Dolls to Prince. I mean, we do it all. So it's just fun. I get to play guitar, sing.
Cool. That's what I was going to ask you. Are you playing bass? But no, you're playing guitar. Cool.
Yeah. So, and that's something I do when I'm not playing with FHB or out with Tekken for Tesla. So, yeah.
How many people are in the Vagabond Brothers? Is it like a two-piece? Or what?
Yeah. It's a two-piece, a duo.
Sweet. Cool. Well, we will. Can we link your Facebook page through today's show notes?
Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. We'll do that. And what song can we go out with here? Is there another Frank Hannon Band song you'd like to play for the listeners?
Yeah, you could play The Picture. It's one of my favorites off the new album.
Cool. What we'll do is we'll play maybe 2 minutes of this song, guys, and then we encourage you to go to iTunes and download the full version. Support what Aaron does with Frank Hannon of Tesla fame by going and purchasing the music. And it's been great talking with you, man, and I hope to definitely say hello to you when you come through town with Tesla at the PNC Arts Center here in New Jersey.
Yeah, Mark, thanks so much for having me on. Like I said, I've been a big fan of talking metal for a long time, so this is a real honor. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Aaron. Great talking with you.
Thank you.
Of light, you're going down, and it's taking flight.